How grateful it is. Grateful to be present here. And I invite any of you, each of you, if you, whatever questions you have, to ask. And may divine love fill us with wisdom to be able to guide us.
Could you explain about the
You have to speak up so that others can hear you.
Can you explain about the Gnostic text and the philosophy of that? How true that is, you know, is it the truth? Because I asked about archons, remember that a couple months ago.
You asked about what?
Archons.
So, what was your first question? The Gnostic?
Yes. And you know, the philosophy of Gnostic, is that the truth or is it how true that is, you know, the Gnostic text and the philosophy behind it?
Well, actually, go and look for Gnostic. G-N-O-S-T. G-N-O-S-T-I-C, so that people can understand what it says, the meaning that
it refers to possessing or relating to a spiritual, mystical, or esoteric knowledge.
That's what Gnostic is, you know. Is the knowledge of knowing about spirit is the original way. It didn't differentiate between Christianity or Islam or Hindu or shamanism. It's just, you could, in a way, some may even call it the language of the invisibles, the angels, the shining ones, you know. So when you talk about the Gnostic text, that is why you will, it's the Hammadi, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Hammadi of Egypt. In other words, these were things that they've not translated to Greek because some things were lost before that. And then the Pope, well, there was no Pope there, so they've not they've not managed. So that's why when you hear some of the things that Jesus said, mm-hmm. you will find that there's some they were able to translate, but some missing in translation. And then when other people hear, they say it's not in the Bible, so it can't be true. The Gospel of St. Thomas and all of that, mm-hmm. they were changed. So, to a larger extent, the Gnostic text, yeah, they are true, but how can we verify it? Mm-hmm. That's where the question is. The ones who could verify, they are not here. So, and those researchers, you know, because there's always a difference between intellectual presentation and mystical presentation, you know. And sometimes they are so far apart that then you wonder, it's like, then how could people just put that out there and claiming it to be true? One of the things that happened when I was growing up, when one of the monks was in trance for 40 days, where he could tell us things that were happening, and he wasn't speaking the language that any of us understood. So then there has to be another monk who is giving the gift. You can't acquire it unless the Spirit gave. Who is giving the gift, and then he is able to translate what was being spoken in that mystical language. I mean, it's a great thing to behold. Sometimes when both of them are talking, The one who is hearing it, who is telling, okay, this is what you tell the people, the translator sometimes doesn't get it, and he's trying to say, and you will see him say, no, 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 that's not it. And we don't understand what he said, but by the voice, like, no, 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 yeah. And there are translators and there are translators. There was one of them that really got what he was saying, because sometimes he might be meditating, not available, then we have others that we substitute. So that's the way I see the Gnostic text. It's the language of the higher rapport, how they communicate with us, you know. And sometimes, if you don't pay attention, you will totally miss the whole point. You know, not to be boastful. Sometimes when spirit is telling me something, I don't get it because it's of a different world. And the symbology that they use, if you take it literally, you will miss it. Yeah. You know? So let's talk about the symbol of rice. If they bring in a vision, they show you rice, you will just think, oh, okay, it's food. No, it's not. Depending on the path, when they show the symbol of rice, that's abundance. It doesn't mean you should eat it right there. It means abundance in every way. Doesn't mean you should go to Safeway and buy some rice and cook it. Or if they show somebody riding a horse. Depending on the individual they're talking about, sometimes riding a horse means there will be a time that person is allowed to go further, you know. And another time, depending on what else they put, it means victory. So unless one is used to those things, so if I see somebody show me a horse in a movie, then I'll just say, oh, well, I guess they don't have a car, you know. So, yeah, the Gnostic text, because that's about knowledge. And that's where some of it comes. Know thyself. If they want to present that way, you will see they will say, the Knox say, know thyself. In other words, what they are saying is they're not talking about you knowing your physical self. They are talking about you knowing your inner self. Because with that, you will actually know your mission in this world, things to watch out for, you know, the spirits around you, how you connect to them, how you make offering, and all of that. And for someone who knows themselves, then they are able to rise higher into the understanding of the mystical of their relationship with God. So yeah, Gnostic. Information or text relates to the what we can call the original words that were spoken. If we want to use the biblical, the thing closest to that would be during the Tower of Babel. Well, you know, before that, people could understand each other if we're just going strictly by the scriptures. But then the pride came in, and then the Lord decided to stop that, and then people can no longer understand each other. Now we have different tribal knowledge. And you could also say Day of Pentecost. You could say that's a Gnostic, because they were speaking in the languages that is not their primary languages. And people were amazed, like, how are they able to do this? One is a Yankee. How is he able to speak Hispanic? This one is this. So that's where you can see where the Gnostic knowledge comes in. When there is being given to those individuals, they're not talking about differentiation. They're just bringing down what is being told to them. So then you who can, it's like, if I'm speaking a different language and you do not understand that. So the one who understands that, oh my God, okay, this makes sense. But if I'm speaking English, even though I'm not an English speaker, you know, let's say I don't even know how to say one word of English, but then when you hear it, it will make sense to you. Like, oh, it might even be very personal telling you. And then say, oh my God, I did this. But, and then after that spirit has left, and then if you try to communicate with me in English and I don't understand one word of it, won't you be amazed? Like, but he, just now he spoke fluently to me, you know, with no accent. You would, yeah. So that's how you could say the Gnostic text is a primary text from where, well, we can say the scriptures of other, from where the Christian scriptures, because that's pretty much limited to that, from where the Christian scriptures arose. But other things have been deleted or kept, you know, because like the priest wants to be in charge. And sometimes you don't blame it because other people were not educated. So they feel, okay, we know this, we will, then we will tell you what is being said. But then as people become educated, then they can read these things. So then the priest, they feel threatened that they will no longer need them, because why will the Pope, I think his niece, they had a meeting where they decided what would go into the Bible. The gospel according to St. Thomas, according to Mary and all of that, they were kept away because they felt if people know this, then what do you need the priest for? Yeah. So that's how that came about. Does that answer your question?
Could you talk about the archons in the Gnostic? Because it seems that they are beings that they govern the earth, and they are feeding the way that they, you know, I read it. They feed on your energy of fear and...
how do you spell, you spell the archon? Because you have the eons and the...
A-R-C-H-O-N-S.
Yeah, A-R-C-H...
O-N-S. Archon.
O-N-S. N?
S.
S, or archons, yeah.
Yeah, it says it's cosmic beings that govern the physical universe, created by flaws, lower deity known as Demiurge. They act as a spiritual jailers, keeping human souls bound to the material realm and binding them to their true divine origins. So,
well,
how true is that?
Some to a larger extent is true. You have to understand the different realms, let's put it that way. There is something that if you have not earned a certain understanding, you cannot go to the other realm. So some of this, I'm just generalizing because this goes into detail. This is not something we can talk, you know. And so some, let's just use the word angels to, just to make it easier. That is their role. Their role is to make sure you have not earned that, you don't get to the other level. So when you try to push, there's an energy that stops you, you know. You could say it's like electricity, so then you know, okay. Otherwise, you know, humans, we like to get something we have not worked hard for. We like our whoop. So So yeah, they do exist, depending on what kind of mystical path you are, they give them different names, but it's the same,
The same entity.
it's the same individual. To say they keep them, like in hell and all of that. Well, he's pushing it too much. To me, what it means is they keep you where you belong. So people who are so material oriented, then you go to this to the reign to the sphere where you meet other people who focus are material oriented. So you can't go and say, "Oh, I want to go to where Babaji is." It's not going to happen. And it's not a punishment, it's just that's where you are. So, and you guys start working it out until you learn that, okay, if somebody's so filled up with thoughts of money, it doesn't matter whether it's dollars or pounds or, that's what they focus on. Then when they do pass on, then they find that it's like a dislodgement. You can't use the money thought. There, where are you going to go? Safeway and buy something? You don't need all of that. So, in a way, it becomes something they need to be relieved of, and it's not pleasant because it's like being in an environment where it's like fish out of water. They will still have peace of mind and all of that because the Spirit of God guarantees that to all God's children. It's just that they. The thing is not smoother like people who more focus is on the divine, So that's why birds of the same feather flock together. So they enjoy the same environment, and sometimes they are clueless that there's even something even better than where they are. So. Maybe at one point we'll have a discussion about that because I mean, it's very heady. You see the different, what they do, it's like having the seraphim, the cherubims, and then you have the different designations of the angels and all of that.
I have a question that's maybe a little bit related.
Sure.
This is a quote by Yogananda, and you've spoken about it before, but I have a question. May I read something? It's about 10 sentences long. Is that okay?
Sure.
This is written by Yogananda, and it's in the book Solving the Mystery of Life. Devotion is a deeply reverential admiration of God. It is characterized by an element of separation between the soul and spirit. In love, there is a merging of the two into one. In devotion, your desire is not to establish oneness with God, but to keep your separate identity for the joy of standing apart and worshiping the object of your adoration. The attitude of devotion is, I am thy son, and thou art my father, or I am thy lover, and thou art my beloved, or I am thy devotee, and thou art my lord. In this state, the devotee doesn't want to say or feel, thou and I are one, but rather, I adore thee. Even though liberation has been attained, the devotee is free to retain his individuality in order to enjoy throughout this life and all eternity the bliss of beholding God and worshiping him with the offering of devotion. So I'm very intrigued by this a little bit, the devotee choosing not to, even though they have the knowledge that they are one with the divine, they may not choose to merge into that oneness. They might choose to retain some identity. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Let me give you an example. Actually, I was doing this early morning today. I didn't know this question was coming. In Christianity, the way we pray is like God is actually separate, where pray to God and all of that, and all of that, and all of that. In some other practices, they don't do that. It's a different, or even in Christianity, if you become mystical, then some of that you change your connect, the way you pray. But whether you pray to God as if God is separate, or you pray to God as if you are one with God, whatever the object of your prayer, it will still be granted. For those who are not already realized, they feel like God is too powerful for them to be one with. And it's not God that is saying that. So our upbringing, our environment, or whatever we're exposed to, have an impact on that. And then it's up to us to shed that. I'll read to you what I was doing this morning to give you an So let's say we were gathering together. We could say, let's pray. We say, beloved God, show us that protection and all of that and all of that and all of that. But if I'm doing it in a mystical way, this is what I will say. Circle of protection gathered around. Positive influence in this space surrounds. Illumined relationship within abounds. Voices of wisdom are the sounds. It's always a blessing. It always works. If you look at the way this is presented, you're already accepting that this thing is operational. There's no need where you are saying, okay, Lord, please give us that protection and transform our thoughts and this and this, and let us have that relationship with you, pour forth your wisdom into us. So there are some that even in their illuminate state, that's how they related to God. It doesn't mean they are less than the others who relate to God in another way. And one of the things I've learned, and I think Yogananda also, or maybe Yogananda, one of the holy ones, talked about this, is that when each soul finally attain that state of realization, the heavenly realms, when I said it doesn't mean everyone, you just mean the heavenly, or the angels and the shiny ones, we call them. They all gather to welcome that. And then the Spirit of God, the Almighty God Himself, will show up. And it will show up in the way that soul believed. If it has always believed that God is a shiny crystal, that's how God is going to show up. If it has always believed God is an elephant, that's how God, is light, whatever. So now you see the futility, the ignorance of condemning one because, God shows up in the way you want to be with God. Realization, full realization is full realization. So someone who tells you, well, you shouldn't, God is not the rock. You that is an idol. You shouldn't worship that rock. Who are they to say that? But based on their own perception, they think, And that's why we have to be very aware when we meet other people or we're exposed to other mystical practices. It doesn't mean you change your mystical, but if spirit wants you to expand, yeah, they will bring things from other aspects, other realms. And it is for you to be aware and not to judge it. Because the moment you judge it, they will take that gift away. And I know what I'm talking about. And I remember before I came to the United States, I didn't know about the state of Hawaii or anything like that. And God bless, I call him my pastor, Sam's father, he's passed on now. In the sash that you wear as a monk to, on that they have an emblem and it says Aloha, Aloha beam. So to us who have never been a, so that's a holy name. Not only I came to the States, and I remember going to a church because I was trying to get the minister to sort of help in inviting my pastor. And I said, look, this is part of the church. And they said, and he already said, Aloha, Aloha. And he said, oh, this is Hawaii. And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? Later on, I investigate, like, oh my God, Aloha is the expression of the Hawaiian tribal ways of what does Aloha means? Hello, welcome. So how does somebody who did not know that, so that spirit from Aloha had come to visit that person in vision and say Aloha, Aloha beam. So all this time we've been invoking Aloha, Aloha beam. Well, it serves its purpose because it's telling the ethers, oh, hello. Then probably they say, welcome. So each person you are given the right as a child of the infinite to determine how you want to welcome God, how your relationship with God is. Yeah, some they still want to feel separated. It doesn't mean they are separate. It's just that's just the way, their individuality. They still want to be able to do this because it's God still working through them. And that's why we say, whether you become a tree, you know how they say, oh, this one is a tree hugger. Yeah, and to them, like, you don't need that. No, the tree has its own spirit. So somebody who goes to hug the tree and say, oh, hi, you're so beautiful and all. You think that spirit doesn't like that? It likes it. And if that spirit wants to walk with that person, it walks with that person. But then if that person goes and tries to cut the tree, you know that spirit is not going to be happy with you. So the awareness is there for each of us to come and offer ourselves to God in the way. And actually, spirit encourages that. Don't use common words or, I don't want to say cliche words. Speak from your heart to that individual spirit that governs everything and is able to know this is coming from the depth of your soul. And in the process, that soul eventually merges with spirit. There's always a, remember when was it I talked about God and infinite spirit? It's the same thing with we have a soul. It's not all encompassing. The soul eventually goes back to the spirit because that is the relationship with God and then merges with that spirit. And so that's why they say we are spirit. You are immortal, you don't die. So, but if you're still doing it as a soul, yeah, your soul goes to the next level. And then that next level, the soul dies there too, to go to the next level. And then once you've accomplished, then the soul dies to go to the next level until it merges with spirit. Then it becomes immortal. And so we can have that relationship. We can, when it comes to your own realization, when you if you decide, okay, Lord, this is how I still want to operate. The Lord is happy for you because, first of all, you've merged back, but then you decide to walk this way. Yeah, that's why they say, Yeah, Krishna is not Jesus. Jesus is not Buddha. And so and Muhammad and all that, our sister and all of them, and Mother Mary. Even though they may all be merged in the oneness of God, but they still have that individuality. And for some, they don't want that individuality. Does that.
Yes, so Yogananda is affirming that those differences are totally great, cool, okay.
Yeah, when each of us, as we begin to understand that, I mean, it makes one sober up. All the opinions I've had, all the, yeah, and it makes us to celebrate that oneness of spirit. So you, as a Christian, you might go to somewhere where they're doing shamanic thing. If you think spirit won't use you there, then you got something coming. Because if your heart is open, if you are present, spirit will come in. And you're a shamanistic person might be in a Christian church, and they think, and their spirit comes and use them too. I've seen it with my eyes. They didn't think, they were just like, and like they were into it. It's like God is one. That's the whole point. Now what you choose to get to God, that's up to you. As long as you get there and that main law. So thank God for that. Any other questions? Please remind me, maybe at our next retreat, if all of you won't be so agitated. I think I will want to talk about the archons and all of that, break it down, because we have the time for that. And we can even try to talk to them, see whether we can connect to them. We are grateful for the opportunity to be filled that divine wisdom. May it continue to guide us in the right direction. Amen.
Amen.